Welcome to the archives of Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Biological warfare is the use of weapons to cause death by disease. The largest and most sophisticated biological weapons program in the world, which cultivated and stockpiled anthrax virus, brucellosis, plague, and genetically altered strains of smallpox, employed more than 6,000 people at over 100 facilities in the former Soviet Union. Dr. Ken Alabek is a medical doctor and holds a Ph.D. in microbiology. For 15 years, ending in 1992, he was the scientific leader of Biopreparat, the civilian branch of the Soviet Union's secret biological weapons program, a clandestine military empire masquerading as a pharmaceutical company. In 1992, Dr. Alabek defected to the United States. Several years later, he wrote Biohazard, the chilling story of the largest covert biological weapons program in the world, told from inside by the man who ran it. This book details the development of biological weapons, the horrors of his former life, and why he chose to defect. In this, the first of two interviews with Dr. Ken Alabek, conducted in 1999, I asked him to begin by telling us about the Soviet Union's biological weapons program.
The Soviet Union has established this program, BW program, biological weapons program, a long time ago. It was established in 1928. Then it was not a very powerful, of course, it's more than 70 years ago, not very powerful program. But time went by, and the Soviet Union was developing new and new types of biological weapons, new production capabilities, developing new production techniques. And finally, by the late 80s, this country became the most powerful and sophisticated country in this area, in the area of biological weapons.
Where did they have their power? What weapons did they possess at that time?
What was developed? Some viral biological weapons and bacterial biological weapons. Specifically, smallpox biological weapon, anthrax, plague, tularemia, glanders, melioidosis, Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis, Marburg infection. This country was developing Ebola biological weapon, Machupo, Bolivian hemorrhagic fever infection, and many, many others.
Well, tell us about what that means to develop these biological weapons, how they're used, the dangers that are involved with their development.
Biological weapons, of course, what we need to understand, are not biological agents. They're based on biological agents. But if one or another country has a desire to develop powerful biological weapons, it develops production techniques, it develops nutrient media, techniques for cultivation, concentration, munitions for applying biological weapons, delivery systems. It could be, for example, as in the Soviet Union, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, aviation bombs, and such. Application techniques mostly using so-called aerosol application, spreading these agents or weapons in the air.
So that people would breathe them and become infected.
Yeah, it's one of the most, let me say, effective ways just to apply biological weapons.
And one of those weapons was smallpox, after it had thought to have been eradicated throughout the world?
For the Soviet Union, it was a perfect time to start redeveloping this weapon. In the 80s, this country decided to develop new production techniques, new application techniques for smallpox weapons. And it finished this work in 1990, in December of 1990.
What had they accomplished in that 10-year period?
The main idea was to develop a new, very powerful industrial technique. This weapon could be used in as a strategic biological weapon, because at that time it was absolutely clear to the highest levels of the Soviet Union that nobody was protected against smallpox, because nobody was vaccinated anymore, and this weapon could be, in my opinion, an absolute weapon, because everybody was vulnerable to these agents and to these weapons.
Were there plans that you knew of for the Soviet Union to use smallpox biological weapons?
In my opinion, nobody plays such games, because nobody would do this work just without a very strong desire to use these weapons if there is an order.
So there were plans to use it if there was an order?
Yeah, absolutely, because smallpox was considered a strategic weapon and could be used against potential enemies.
When you say strategic weapon, what do you mean?
Biological weapons have been divided into two large groups: strategic weapons and operational weapons. Strategic weapons are mostly little, based on little agents like smallpox, plague, anthrax. In the future, it would be Marburg infection. These weapons would be used against remote targets, for example, like the United States, like Great Britain, and some remote European countries, just against large cities, large military installations, seaports. And operational weapons, mostly incapacitating weapons, like tularemia, brucellosis, Q fever. These weapons would be used against to strike close at targets like rear services. But these weapons never would be used against troops located close to front lines, because biological weapons are very dangerous from this standpoint. There is a very high probability to infect own troops.
By the wind changes?
Yeah, if the wind changes, and some of them are creating epidemic foci, for example, like tularemia or some other infections. And for example, in case of offense, it would be a very high probability to infect own troops. In this case, of course, just these weapons would be used to strike remote targets, like rear services, troops moving toward a front line, and such and such. And as I said before, strategic weapons would be used against countries, very remote targets.
Well, if they were using a strategic weapon, how would they get the smallpox or the anthrax delivered to the target site?
Two different techniques for strategic application: strategic bombers with cluster bombs, and ballistic missiles with single warhead and multi-warhead strategic missiles. This country was developing new type of application, cruise missiles, by late 80s. And when I left this country in the beginning of 90s, this work has not been finished yet, but Russia continued studying this approach.
Ken, what was your personal role in developing these weapons?
I came to this program in 1975 after I graduated from a military medical college, and I became a junior scientist, and probably because I was good in developing these weapons, I grew very fast, and between 1988 and 1992 I was a scientific leader of this program.
What did that mean, scientific leader?
I was responsible for developing new biological weapons, for researching and developing new biological weapons, not just so-called traditional weapons. I was responsible and I oversaw development of antibiotic resistant biological weapons, genetically altered biological weapons. It's a completely new approach to develop these weapons. These weapons would be would no cure, and probably practically nobody would survive if these weapons were used.
And you were in charge of that for the entire Soviet Union?
Not for the entire Soviet Union, for one of the main branches of this program. It's with the name of Biopreparat. It was the main director at Biopreparat responsible for research and development, for researching and developing some forms of biological weapons. There were several other directorates for developing weapons, but, for example, the 15th directorate at the Ministry of Defense was responsible for some weapons development. Then the main directorate under the Ministry of Agriculture responsible for developing anti-agricultural biological weapons, just anti-plant or anti-crop biological weapons and anti-livestock biological weapons. It was a huge program, unbelievably huge, with a lot of people involved, with a lot of facilities. And, you know, just even just if we start discussing number of agents and number of facilities, of course, you would be just shocked by this.
Well, I think it's important to shock because in reading your book, it's very shocking. And what I'd like you to talk about, if you would please, is the genetically altered biological weapons that you said that if they were used, hardly anybody would survive.
But first, I want to take a moment and say that my guest is Dr. Ken Alabek, the director of the former Soviet Union's Biological Warfare Program. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel.
Let me give you this example. People now here in the United States, scientists are trying just to develop protection against anthrax biological weapon. There are two problems. First problem, whether or not to vaccinate people, and that's why now, for example, troops are vaccinated against anthrax. And another problem, for example, if somebody is not vaccinated, how to treat this specific person. And we use antibiotics for this. The Soviet Union was interested in developing new anthrax biological weapons, just from this standpoint, I mean. That would overcome vaccination immunity and biological weapons, anthrax biological weapons. They would overcome well-known and widely accepted antibiotic treatments. It meant that this country wanted to develop multi-antibiotic resistant strains of anthrax, resistant to all possible antibiotic treatments. And another approach is to develop new strains of anthrax and new biological weapons just to overcome vaccination.
And was this done?
New strains to overcome antibiotic treatment have been developed and improved in 80s and in 90s. And just last year, this country published an article that they were capable to develop a strain that overcame vaccine immunity in monkeys. It seems to me now, especially just, of course, first issue, of course, it was done. And now this country is capable just to manufacture antibiotic-resistant biological weapons.
When you say this country, you refer to Russia and other former Soviet republics?
Just Russia.
Just Russia?
Yeah, because nobody else has this level of capability in the former Soviet Union but Russia.
Ken, I want to take a moment and tell our listeners that this week we're talking with Dr. Ken Alabek. He left the Soviet Union by choice in 1992 after he spent approximately 20 years rising to the directorship of the largest biological weapons program in the world. He's the author of a recent book called Biohazard. Ken, are these weapons still available in Russia? Are they still there?
Opinion, at least all techniques to manufacture these weapons are still available. And Russia has not destroyed all documentation. Russia has not destroyed production capabilities. And there are several very suspicious top-secret facilities involved in previously involved in BW research and development work, and they're operational now, and they're still top-secret, and it's absolutely clear that Russia continues researching this and this area and developing something new.
Why do they do this?
It's very difficult to answer, but I can just assume that probably there are two reasons. First reason, because Russia was and is the most, let me say, Russia is super has superiority in this area. And, of course, Russia understands what biological weapons are and what is their real capability. And another reason, the Russian military is decaying. It's constantly decaying. Russia is not a superpower anymore, I mean, from a general standpoint. But biological weapons are very effective weapons. And, for example, in case of a possible war, Russia, in my opinion, would like to have these weapons as weapons of choice.
In other words, you feel that they may use them?
You know, just if a country is in danger and it faces destruction, of course, probably it's highly probable that this country would use these weapons as a last resort.
What has kept the Soviet Union from using biological weapons up until now?
Because there were no critical situation just for applying biological weapons, but I cannot say that Russia didn't use the Soviet Union didn't use biological weapons. According to my analysis, during World War II, Russia used at least once or twice biological weapons. One case, it's 1942. Just before Stalingrad battle, and I am describing this situation in the book. And another case, it's early 80, specifically 1982, Afghanistan. It's one more case of applying biological weapons.
In frontline battles?
No, it's the first case, it was just that's why Russia, in my opinion, that's why Russia didn't have and doesn't have so-called a tactical tactical strategy to apply these weapons, because this weapon was used very close to a front line to affect offensive German troops, and because of a very close contact, this epidemic continued for about 4 months, and that's and some Russian soldiers have been infected as well. And in the second case, these weapons were used in remote locations of Afghanistan, and in this case, that's why we haven't heard practically anything about this application. And specific of this weapon was that they used glanders. And glanders is a so-called an incapacitating weapon. It doesn't kill a lot of people, but it has a very high, disabling capability. And it affects horses. In this case, in case of war between Russia and the Soviet Union and Afghanistan, it was very important just to infect and kill horses, because the main, let me say, transportation means for Mujahideens were horses.
And you know from your own personal knowledge that it was used.
Yeah, just it's my personal knowledge, and I'm saying this in the book, just how I get I've gotten this information.
I'd like to mention again that I'm talking with Dr. Ken Alabek, who was born in Kazakhstan in 1950. He has a degree as a medical doctor and also holds a PhD in microbiology for research and development of plague and tularemia biological weapons, and also a doctorate of science in biotechnology for developing technology to manufacture anthrax on an industrial scale. Ken, with a background like that, isn't there a conflict that you originally ignored as a doctor when you took an oath to help people and not hurt people?
You know, it's a hardest question, because you're absolutely right. When I graduated from a military medical college, I gave my medical oath not to harm, not to cause any harm. Just according to this oath, I had to just, I had a responsibility, just one responsibility, to help people survive, just to save their lives. But because I was probably because I was a good student, I was interested in science, in infectious diseases, epidemiology. I was chosen just to work for this program in the Soviet Union. Yeah, you know, I had some doubts, and I even tried just to escape, but it was impossible.
What do you mean escape?
Just I talked to my father, just because he was. And he's a World War II veteran, and he wrote a letter to the Minister of Defense of the Soviet Union asking just to let me come and serve closer to my parents' house. But this permission never was given, and I continued working for this program. But, you know, it's again, it's a personal issue, but, you know, when you're trapped with... large pay and a lot of privileges, and you know it's very hard to resist. Of course, I know it's my fault. Of course, probably I should try just to escape more. But I didn't do this, and finally, of course, I continued on doing this work. And finally became one of the leaders of this program.
Were you able to just put the conflict out of your mind, or did it consistently tug at you?
You know, just, I cannot say I was. I was thinking about this every single day, but for first couple of years, of course, for me it was very hard just to understand why I was doing this work. But, you know, a time went by, and, you know, you start getting used to, and unfortunately, finally, of course, it's, and because maybe because of the propaganda, Soviet propaganda, that we were developing these weapons as a response to the United States threat.
Were these concerns about the ethics or the morals of the work that you were doing ever discussed by you with your co-workers?
You know, it was very dangerous. It was very dangerous if you start discussing something like this. Of course, it's, you know, immediately you'd be so-called phylacted by KGB. And if you continue doing this, of course, you can lose not just your work or your privileges. You can lose your freedom.
Did your wife or children know about the work that you did?
Practically nothing.
Did they have any suspicions or questions?
My wife, she, of course, probably she suspected something, but she never tried just to clear the situation up, because it's quite dangerous in the Soviet Union, and you never know who is whether or not you're bagged, and in many cases, yes, of course, it even at your home, of course, it was very dangerous to discuss a lot.
There would be a bug or an electronic wiretap in the walls of your home?
Yeah, it was highly probable. I never tried just to check it, because it's absolutely impossible. For example, if I found something, it wouldn't be possible to remove this, let me say, wires and bags from the house.
Because if you removed it, they would notice its absence?
Yeah, you're right.
Ken Allebeck, I want to thank you for joining us on this edition of Radio Curious. And before we close, I want to ask you the question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, could you tell us of an interesting book that you've read lately?
I finished reading The Cobra Event, written by Richard Preston, and he's my personal friend, and that's why I was reading this book. And then I've read book Vector, written by Robin Cook. It's a book in this area. And now I'm just reading some books written in Russian. It's just because of my knowledge of English and Russian, of course, I can read in both languages.
Tell us the name again of the Richard Preston book.
The Cobra Event.
Briefly, what is the work that you're doing now in the United States?
I'm working for a private company that's a government contractor. The name of the company is Hedron, located in Northern Virginia. Yes, I just came to this company, I've gotten a newly created position of a chief scientist, and just my personal responsibility is to start developing medical defense against biological weapons, because I'm a physician, I know biological weapons effects, and I know how to protect against biological weapons. Yes, I'm trying just to undo what I did before, and just to do something. Of course, I know I'm not able to unmake these weapons, but yes, I'm trying to develop something just to help people to be protected against biological weapons if somebody applies these weapons against people.
Dr. Ken Allebeck, thank you for joining us on Radio Curious.
Okay, thank you very much.
Dr. Ken Allebeck is the author of Biohazard, the chilling story of the largest covert biological weapons program in the world, told from the inside by the man who ran it. The book he recommends is Prevent, by Richard Preston. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. The phone is 707-462-6541. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org. You've been listening to the archives of Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.